Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Hi, and welcome back. You know, one segment each week, I'd like to go over things that people have brought up to me, whether questions or even scientific things that they have found, because there's so many things relate to eyes. Obviously, eyes relate to our outside world in a tremendous way. One person called and said they have myopic macular degeneration. That means they're so nearsighted, their eye is so stretched that they're losing retinal receptors in the center of their vision. And it's kind of like macular degeneration, but it's not really age or vascular related. And the question is, what do you do? The simple things are you want to be on high levels of vitamin C to maintain the sclera from stretching. Omega-3 DHA, 500 to 1,000 milligrams daily to nourish the receptors. And in our next segment, we're going to be talking about stem cells, which is going to be able to replace disease receptors or diseased optic nerve. I mean, so there's so many interesting things. So this is a creative time in life. I remember at our Academy of Ophthalmology, the big standards and the big posters were all about new surgical techniques. Now it's all about genetic engineering and way to improve something with nanometers, with nanodrugs, with stem cells, with chips. So most interesting. TV watching. 25-year study was completed in Denmark, and they followed people's television watching habits. Well, as you might imagine, it correlates with their non-physical activity habits. And they divided it into three groups based on number of hours television watching. After 25 years, these people were mid-adults, and they demonstrated a significant loss of cognitive ability, meaning they could not respond as quickly to simple situations, and they did not have the full gamut of testing. So TV watching and lack of physical activity are certainly have a role in cognition. We don't know about electronic watching, but we have a funny feeling it's going to do something, and it's going to take a matter of time to know. It certainly hypes people up. Another interesting study came my way, which you might be interested in, and they wondered about mice in the cold, and some of them get skinny because they lose weight. Some of them don't lose weight at all, and a few get fat, and it all depends on their bacteria. Imagine that. So a group decided to study mice in cold weather. They were looking for obesity and insulin resistance because they were really doing diabetic studies. And they found that the animals that had a microbial bacteria mixture known as microbiomes in their gut were with very good function enabled the mice when it got cold to become more efficient in burning and using their food. They didn't change the diet of the mice, but the mice's intestinal villi enlarged, and they could absorb twice as much of the material coming through the gut. So like the first few days, they would lose weight, and then they picked it up. Well, this was so fascinating. They decided what they would do is transplant the good bacteria into the bacteria of the mice that didn't maintain their weight, but actually got more obese. And by swapping bacteria, they found that the heavier mice would lose weight. Next, they decided, well, let's take newborn mice, because newborn mice, like newborn people, are not colonized by bacteria. It takes a little while before they develop their own enteric microbiome. So what they did was they took two groups of mice, and they gave one group the good bacteria, we'll call it, the other group the heavy bacteria. And the ones that were the good bacteria maintained a steady growth and never became obese and never developed insulin resistance. So down the road, they then transferred the bacteria through the feces to the mice that did not have the good bacteria, in other words, replacing it, and all of a sudden, these animals lost weight. Well, the clinical correlation, this has been done in twins, identical twins. One was fat, one was thin, and it was their lifestyle and their microbiome that determined the difference between the two of them. And by transferring bacteria, they found they could alter the weight and obesity. I, in particular, had a patient who had a knee replacement. He developed C. diff, a bad bacteria that colonizes in the bowel but also got into the joint. He was septic and antibiotics weren't working, so the university decided for the first time to try one of these fecal transplants. Well, not only within 24 hours, his temperature reverted to normal, that by the time I saw him 2 months later, he was able to be doing physical therapy. He lost 45 pounds and his quote-unquote diabetes went away. In other words, his blood sugar regulated because he had less weight and he had less insulin resistance, meaning the amount of insulin he made was more effective in pushing the sugar into the cells instead of being less effective. So there are many interesting concepts out there, but we're going to be able to start dealing with diabetes by dealing with gut bacteria. Someone asked me if they have a child with only one good eye, what sports can they play? Well, that seems to be pretty obvious. You don't want them to be playing with a hard ball coming at you, whereas you could be playing golf, although you don't have great depth perception. But there's a lot of people who have, quote unquote, one good eye. Many of them have a lazy eye or amblyopic eye. And if it's caught reasonably early, it's easily enough to solve. One of the ways to treat it historically is to patch the better eye. But that's a great penalty for both schoolwork and for athletic activity. So you dilate the pupil of the one good eye, the non-amblyopic eye, or as the Chinese are doing, you do acupuncture around the ear, which they say works as well as patching. So there are certain new things that you can do. Lastly, vision therapists, optometrists that do visual testing, giving a dissimilar objects to the two eyes, will allow people to practice putting the two eyes together, the bigger image, obviously, for the lazy eye, the small image for the better eye, and putting it together. And a 50-year-old neuropsych professor at Mount Holyoke College wrote a book called Fixing My Gaze, stating that at any age you can do this, and she defied the common logic that you can't. Which comes to bring about the point that you never say never, because you just don't know. I had a nurse the other day, and I said to her, you know the difference between nurses and doctors? And she said, no. I said, nurses tell you when they don't know something. And she laughed. And the interesting thing is, you don't know what your doctor doesn't know. And therefore, you should ask in greater detail. That's also a reason if it's a very difficult subject, you may want another opinion, or you at least want to ask more questions. So the moral of the story is, you have to be your own medical detective. You have to figure a lot of these things out yourself, just as we will. And you're our teachers, just as we're your teachers. And that's why I say, ask the wizard. I like these emails to keep coming. You can actually email me at drabel@icomplexcs.com. Terrific. This is Dr. Rob Abel, The Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. Please feel free to listen to this podcast, share it with your friends, or listen to any podcast on our RadioMD website. Stay well, be well.